160.
Number 323. More love to thee. On the first.
Oh,
song, and that's a good song to remind us that the purpose of church are severalfold. One is to know the Bible, know God's Word, know about Christ, know about God the Father, and learn to love Him even more. So as we grow in the Lord, we learn to love the Lord more. And so if we just come to get these things out of sight, it's not really that fulfilling. If we get this thing right and this thing together straightened out, and our affection, our desire for Christ is even more enhanced, and we grow more from last year, that's worth it then, see? So let me encourage you to be in church as much as you can. Make the effort, and God will bless you for it, and I'm sure He will. I was telling the guys as we were having prayer time that sometimes I have a hard time getting up on Sunday morning. Other days, no problem. Why is that? Maybe somebody is trying to hinder me from going to church. And I'm the pastor. And so anything that's worth doing, it takes an effort. And the more important it is, it seems like the more you get hindered from doing that, especially in spiritual things. So I really appreciate you folks being in church today. We have folk that come from a long ways, folk that come from across the street. Funny, the ones that come from across the street are always late. That is funny. Those are the fathers that come on time. They come early. And so, but we appreciate you in church today. We have a guest missionary and his wife. They have a little track table or a display back there. Please take a card. The card looks like this. And so please take, it's there for you to take, all right? It's a little card with Brother Mike and his wife's name, Lisa, on there, and the mission agency and the ministry that they're involved in. And so a short introduction, and then he'll show slides, and then he's going to come preach to us. We have another song, don't we? Okay. Let's do this. Let's stand, shake hands, and we'll come back for another song. But before you do that, I want to tell you that Brother Mike, he's a friend of mine now, because he's a friend of Brother Tom first and Shelley. Of course, you know that they've been coming for, Tom and Shelley have been coming for many years. And then, of course, health has kept them from coming again, Brother Tom. And so they're friends of ours personally and to the church. And so anybody who's a friend of Tom and Shelley is a friend of mine. So don't say anything bad about the missionary today. At least not in front of me. We're glad that they're here. He had a really good Sunday lesson today from Philippians chapter 3. It was very practical, very helpful, very encouraging. And I do appreciate that. I do like that. I think that the way he handled the scripture was just really good. And he has a pastor's heart. He's not a pastor. He has a pastor's heart, Amen. Which is a blessing. Amen. And so I really appreciate the words that he used and said and how it was encouragement to us. Looking forward to the message to follow. Let me take a quick picture. Everyone stand, please. This is for Tom and Shelley. Okay? This is for Tom and Shelley. Just stand right where you are. No, you get in there. You can get there, Mike. You get there too, please. Mike, not Michael. What is your name, Grandson? Come on, sit on this side over here. This is for Tom and Shelley. And for my wife, and Kirsten was also at home. All right. Okay. Right? I get you all here, right? Good. What, Mary?
I'm just saying hi to Shelly.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. She got a high five over there. Look at that high five. Let's take a minute, shake hands, and we'll come back and sing another song. Thank you.
All right, let's all stand. May stand. We'll sing 496. I think might be new to some of you. 496. If you don't know this song, you're not a Baptist. Victory in Jesus, all right?
Here about the video and some things. So Do want to extend a warm welcome from Tom and Shelley first. Though it's cold in Rapid City, when we left there in South Dakota, they had 6 inches of snow on the ground. But they do extend their warm welcome to you, and I know that they'd rather be here than to be there in the snow. But they certainly always enjoy visiting with you. I know they always talk about this church, and they specifically mentioned Pastor Chang and his church when we were thinking about coming. And they said, you got to go there, you got to visit with them and just find your people. So they extend their hello to you as well. And I know our church has been praying for Ms. Miranda over the last couple of months. Shelley's been keeping us informed of what's been happening. And not only during our Sunday school, our adult Sunday school, we've been praying, but also on the midweek service, we've been praying. So this church has been lifted up in prayer a lot over the last couple of months. But I'm here with my wife, Lisa, and we've been married for 32 years now. Praise the Lord. And she traveled with me around the world. I was in the Air Force for 22 years, and I didn't have to retire, but the Lord called me into full-time ministry, as we'll see here on the video here in just a minute. She's been traveling with me there with the military. She didn't go to Iraq and Afghanistan, but she went to other places that I was at. So she's been a blessing, and now in the ministry for 10 years. I've been doing this for 10 years. Since I retired, so we've been all around the world. So the video here that I have is about 7 minutes. It's an overview, my call to the ministry and the history of our ministry and our press operations. And I basically picked up where Brother Tom first left off. He's got some pretty big shoes. If you know Brother Tom, he's a big guy. So I've had some pretty big shoes to fill over the years. But I pretty much picked up where he left off, and we just go around raising support. We print the John and Romans portions of the Bible here. There's some on the back table, as a pastor mentioned. And this is what one of the cards looks like right here. So pick up one of our cards, pray for us when you think about us. And that's what we do. We travel around. We print portions of the Bible. We want to get the gospel into the hands and hearts of those who've never had it before. So we print in many different languages. You'll see here on the video it goes into that as well. But the need that we have is always a constant need for paper, resources to print the Word of God and to ship the Word of God. So money for those kinds of things. It's always a constant need out there. So we're more of a helps ministry. I'm not on the road for me. I'm on the road for the ministry. I have a military retirement, so that takes care of the finances for us. So when I go out on the road, I can focus on the ministry. And this is what we need. So whenever the Lord calls me out of this ministry, at least the funds are still coming in. To provide support for paper and shipping. It's not tied to me specifically. So that's what we do. We don't charge any of our missionaries or church planners or churches really for the booklets at all. We just want to print it. We just want to get the Word of God out there in the communities and the countries that we print for. So we're happy to be able to provide at no cost to missionaries, church planners. And we do that as the Lord provides through other churches and individuals who provide funds for the ministry. So the current project that we're working on now, we're just getting ready to start a project for the Philippines, Tagalog. We're going to be printing Tagalog. Never printed Tagalog before, but we just finished a shipment to Tacloban, Philippines. So we did that recently, and we're also just finishing up for Africa, Malawi, Africa. So that's our big project. We're getting ready to wrap that up right now. A big project like that costs about $45,000 or so from start to finish. To print it, ship it, and get it to the field. So the Africa project, everything's paid for except for about $7,000 to ship it. So it's roughly a $13,000 shipment, and we have about 50% of that already in. So we're just praying the Lord will bring those funds in over time to get that shipment out to the field there as soon as we can. We're hoping June it would get out there. But that's kind of in a nutshell an overview of the ministry. We'll show you the video here. If you have any questions about our ministry at all after the service, then certainly check us out at our table afterwards. And we're going to start, when I do start preaching, we'll be in John chapter 1, so you can find your place there. And let me get this started.
Church, and we started assembling John and Romans booklets in the basement of our church. He then began praying for an actual printing press and a facility to print the scripture from, and the Lord provided not only the equipment in the building, but also the press operator. We praise the Lord that during these last 38 years, we've been able to print over 8 million copies of John and Romans booklets in 15 different languages and send them to 24 different countries worldwide. My call to the ministry started about halfway through my 22-year career in the Air Force. We were blessed with multiple deployments and multiple assignments, and it was during a missions conference while stationed in Heidelberg, Germany, that the Lord planted a seed for me to one day serve Him full time. One of the missionaries during that conference presented his burden of printing and distributing John Roman's booklets around the world, and we thought it was a really interesting ministry. But I was still serving in the Air Force at the time, and I didn't think much more about it until a couple of assignments later when I was stationed at the Pentagon. We joined a church in Woodbridge, Virginia, and we asked, where can we get involved in serving? And we were soon told about their ministry that assembled John and Roman's booklets. This was a very similar ministry to what that missionary spoke to us about in Germany a couple of years earlier. So we eagerly got involved with this ministry, and the Lord began to burden our hearts more and more for retiring from the Air Force and going into full-time ministry. We had no idea what that meant at the time, but we prayed as a family and had peace that our next assignment in the Air Force, wherever that was, would be our last, and that we would retire and serve the Lord full-time. So our final set of orders was to Rapid City, South Dakota, home of Mount Rushmore and Ellsworth Air Force Base. Before every Air Force move, we would always find a church to attend before we would even find a house to live in. And our move to Rapid City, South Dakota was no different. So when we walked into that church in Rapid City for the very first time, who do you think we met? It was that same missionary that we met in Germany a few years earlier. We found out that this was his home church and that this was also home to the Lighthouse Baptist Press Ministry. He remembered us from Germany and asked, what are we doing in Rapid City? I discussed having to finish two more years of active duty service and then wanting to serve the Lord full time, but I still didn't know where or what ministry. Well, he promptly invited us over to his house for a meal and began to tell us how he'd been praying for 10 years for someone to come and take over the press ministry. He then asked me to prayerfully consider being the next director of Lighthouse Baptist Press upon retirement. Well, after about 30 days of prayer, it was obvious to us that the Lord was opening a door for us, and we had peace about moving forward. So in 2014, we retired from the Air Force and began leading the Lighthouse Baptist Press ministry. We've been on the road raising funds for paper and shipping ever since, and the Lord continues to bless this ministry. Our process begins when we receive a truckload of 31 rolls of paper. Two of these rolls are loaded onto the press and can produce 25,000 booklet portions within 2 hours. We then stack these booklet portions onto pallets for further processing. Church groups, visiting missionaries, and members from our church all volunteer to assemble the booklets by collating the portions and then adding a cover to the outside. After the booklets get assembled, they're stacked on the shelves by the thousands and are ready for the final phase of processing, stapling, and trimming. During this final process, each booklet is loaded onto our machine where it receives two staples, gets trimmed on three sides, and then is hand-loaded onto every box. All of the completed boxes are then stored in our warehouse and either sent to a church plant or existing church in America, or is awaiting shipment to a missionary overseas. When it's time to load a container, we have less than an hour to load over 600 boxes. It's a pretty intense time, but we load each container from floor to ceiling with booklets and Bibles for needy souls around the world. And before each container departs, we pray and ask the Lord to bless not only the shipment, but also for many souls to be saved. When I'm not on the road raising funds for the ministry, I'm on the road delivering scripture supplies to other churches that help us assemble the booklets. We call this our Seed Line Ministry, and once every quarter I deliver between 6,000 and 10,000 pounds of material to multiple churches. It's a very long and intense day of moving heavy boxes and bundles, but the Lord gives us the strength to keep pressing on, and I'm thankful for His provision and for the help of these Seed Line churches. I was able to capture the impact of someone gives to our ministry during a missions trip to the Philippines in 2020. We had an opportunity to preach the Word of God to thousands of Filipinos, and I watched many come under conviction, like this young lady sitting by the window during one of the services. She was crying for about 30 minutes before the invitation was even given. Then, after the Word of God was preached, just about every hand went up for salvation during the invitation. Students and teachers all around the auditorium, even law enforcement personnel, and even that young lady that was sitting by the window. God's word does not return void, and the impact of giving to our ministry helps sow the gospel seed around the world for souls to be saved. Our policy is to never charge churches or missionaries for any of our materials. We simply provide as the Lord provides, so our greatest need is funds for paper, shipping, and equipment costs. Each roll of paper can cost over $1,000, and each truckload can cost over $38,000. Shipping a container to a missionary overseas can cost between $10,000 and $12,000, and sending one box of 300 to 500 John Romans booklets to a church planter across the United States can cost over $45. Much of our equipment is old, and we've been upgrading one component at a time as the Lord provides the funds. In fact, we recently purchased a new full-color cover press, and we praise the Lord for bringing in over $52,000 to pay for this press in full. Now we're able to provide full-color covers for our John Romans booklets. Any gift, large or small, for paper, for shipping, or for our equipment, will help us get the Word of God into the hands and hearts of needy souls around the world. And every soul saved as a result of your giving is fruit to your account. Please pray about what the Lord would have you to do to help us to keep the presses rolling and to see souls saved.
There, so if you do have any questions, certainly feel free to come chat with us after service. We'd love to be able to talk with you more about our ministry. God has blessed us over the years, as you can see. Just many, many scriptures have gone out, many souls have been saved as a result of just getting the word of God out there. And that's what we want to do, that's what God's called us to do. And our print ministry has been around, like I said, 38 years. And our founding pastor has since gone home to be with the Lord now. But his heart, his desire, his burden was for local church printing, to get the word of God printed from a local church and sent out. That's the way they did it in scripture, in the Bible times. And that's his heart, and that's what we need to continue to do today. And I'm just honored to be able to pick up where Brother First left off and continue on just trying to print the word of God and get it sent out there. That's why we do what we do. So John chapter 1. We're going to be there here if you're there. Hopefully that was enough time for you to find it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's millions of people around the world who are unable to have a portion of the Word of God. So how many people here have at least one copy of the Bible? Everybody's raising their hand. How many have more than one copy?
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I can't find my copy of the Bible.
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah, we found it. All right. So at least, well, almost everyone has one copy of the Bible, except the pastor. He found it. How many have more than one copy? Just about everybody does, right? More than one copy. Well, there's places all around the world, they don't even have a portion of the Bible. They can't even afford one copy or one portion of the Word of God. So as you're turning in your Bible to John chapter 1, so many people around the world cannot even do what you just did. They don't have the opportunity to turn to the Word of God, maybe not even in their own language. So it's a privilege that we have the Word of God. You know, in America, most everything we do is what nowadays? It's on our smartphones, right? We can do just about everything from our phone. To getting on the airplane with our boarding passes, to paying bills, making phone calls, having a Bible app or whatever other apps are on there. We can do just about everything from a cell phone. And some people ask, well, why do you still print the Word of God? Well, a lot of countries, they don't have cell phones. They don't have electronic gadgets like we have here. They need something that they can hold in their hand, because there's no other way that they would get it unless they have that. And so that's one of the reasons why we continue printing there. Because other countries, they don't have the electronics and things like that. But we want to do our part in getting the gospel message out there to as many people as we can while we still have opportunity. Right now, praise the Lord, we're still able to freely meet as churches around the country. We're still able to freely print the gospel. But you know, we're just one generation away, one administration away from all that potentially changing. And you know, who knows, there may come a day where we're going to get fined for every portion of the Bible that we print, every page of the Bible that we have. We may not be able to have it anymore. We may have to go underground. There's places that are doing that today. So we need to be thankful for what we do have today.
Amen.
So some people ask, well, why do you print John and Romans? Why just those booklets? Well, first of all, as you saw in the video there, our press is very small. We're not a very large printing operation. We're a very small printing press. So we can't handle printing the entire Bible. So that's one reason there. But the other thing is we can print about 128-page booklets. That's about as thick as we can print. And some of the translations that we print are just about 128 pages, because English is 64 pages, so we can handle that. But Cebuano or some other Philippine languages or the African language that we're printing right now, that's just about 128 pages, or just short of that, I think, maybe 96. But some of them take up, for the John and Romans, take up all that room. So we're able to do up to that amount there. But the most important reason why we print John and Romans is because it contains the simple central message of the gospel. The simple central message of the gospel, that message is about believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. We'll find that in these books here. The book of John alone mentions the word believe or believeth about 100 times. So you can see that's why it's important that we have the gospel of John there, because we want people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans, written by Paul, is more of an instructional letter, if you will, more of an instructional letter to the church, and it contains clear presentation of doctrine. There's some good doctrine there in the book of Romans and how we are to live as believers. So the combination of the John Romans provides the basic foundation, if you will, the milk of the word. For new babies that are born, you're not going to give them a steak to eat, are you? Right? You wouldn't give a new baby a steak. Why not? Because they can't process that. They're not ready for that. So you give them milk, something that they can digest, something easy that they can handle. And that's what John and Romans is. It's like the milk of the word, if you will. Something that's easy enough to digest, to convict the heart, to draw them in, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and how to live as Christians once they become saved. And our burden at Lighthouse Baptist Press is to get that central message, to get that gospel sent all around the world to as many people as the Lord gives us opportunity to. Mark 13:10 says, the gospel must be published among all nations. And over the years, I've heard many testimonies of folks either coming to church or coming to Christ because of the John Romans booklet, because of what they read or what someone preached to them from using John Romans. And in fact, just a few weeks ago, before we left, there was a gentleman in our church. He came to church because someone gave him a John and Romans, and he was coming forward for baptism. And they gave that testimony that he came to know Christ because of one of the John Romans booklets that we printed and distributed, and he was following the Lord in believer's baptism. So it happens. It happens all around the country and other places that we present the gospel there. Now, you know, we know it's not the booklets that save. The booklets are not like a good luck charm. It's not a rabbit's foot, if you will, for anyone to just carry the John and Romans with them and that they automatically get saved. We know that it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses the Word of God that convicts the soul, that convicts the heart, to draw them into the salvation and into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the bottom line reason, really, why we print the John and Romans. And so hopefully that was enough time for you to find John chapter 1. So let's begin here. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So this morning I want to preach to you about just a few foundational truths that we can be confident in as we study the Word of God. And these truths are no doubt familiar to many of you, but they should never get old, amen? They should never get old hearing the gospel truths, foundational doctrines and those kinds of things. And I trust as we look at these truths this morning, you'll not only be challenged to want to know Christ more personally, but you'll be motivated to want to share the gospel with others more frequently so souls can be saved. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the time you've given us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've called us to. Thank you, Lord, for just how you've so kept this ministry going, getting your word printed and sent out. Lord, this is your ministry, and it's your word. And Lord, you always provide. You're always on time. You're never late. And so many souls are being impacted around the world, not because of us, but through us, Lord, because of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our ministry. Thank you for what you're doing here in this church. And we just ask, Lord, that you let us focus in on your word now this morning. And Lord, that you would just get all the other distractions away from us. Let us focus on what you have for us this morning. Lord, I believe this message is what you want me to preach this morning. I just pray, Lord, as I know it's no accident that we're here together. So, Lord, I pray you just focus us in now on your word and that you get the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So first, we can be confident that God's word is a living word. God's word is a living word. You know, we recently celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Resurrection Sunday. We do this every year, not because we want chocolate bunnies or those marshmallow peeps. I don't know if you guys like those marshmallow peeps, but I haven't had one in a while, but I used to like those. But, you know, we don't celebrate that because of those things. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday because we know our Savior is not in the grave anymore. Amen?
Amen.
He's risen. He's alive today. And he rose just like he said. And John here is telling us that there's a living and a personal relationship between the Word of God and God himself. Look again what he says here in John chapter 1. He says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So our faith and our belief in the Bible must be centered on having a personal relationship with Christ. Some of you may have recently seen former President Trump, promoting the sale of the King James Bible. I don't know if you heard of that. I don't know if you've seen that. But he's out there promoting that. It's got some foundational documents to our country in there as well, and it's a King James Bible. He mentioned the need for our country to get back to praying and reading the Bible. And I thought that was interesting. I've never heard in my lifetime any president say that we need to get back to prayer, we need to read the Bible. I never heard any president say that. But he did say one thing that I don't agree with. He said that we all need religion. And I don't agree with that. We don't need religion, folks. Religion is dead today. What we need is a relationship. We need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in the truth of his word. So I know politicians do things for a reason or whatever, but so it's good that he's out there saying we need to pray. We need to get back to reading the Bible as a nation, but we don't need religion. We need relationship. That's what we need. And we can be confident that what we hold here in our hands is God's true and living word to us. That's an inspired word of God. And God wants us to know it. He wants to know us personally. And he wants us to get to know him. And the only way that we can get to know him is through his word. Through the truth of his word. That's how we get to know him. Look with me a little further down there in verse 14. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Folks, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he bled for us, he felt our pain, he lived a sinless life, and because of his unending love for each of us, because he loved you, he died for us. He became that living sacrifice for each of us. He took our place on the cross, and he died for our sin. John 6:51, you don't have to turn there, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Folks, Jesus is the only way that our sins can be forgiven. The only way. The only way that we can come unto the Father. John 14:6 says, Jesus said this, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Gospel of John proves that God's word is a living word and invites all people, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. When we say saved, what do we mean? We mean saved from everlasting torment, saved from hell, death, destruction, all those things. A familiar verse that most of us know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son, that only some people that believe in him. It doesn't say that, right? No. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about the next verse? You guys familiar with that next verse? John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is not in the grave. He arose just like he said. And we can be confident that the word of God is alive today. It's alive today. He that knew no sin took our sin and paid sin's penalty. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means past, present, and future sin. He's cleansed us from all that. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you have he quickened. That word quickened there means made alive. You have he quickened, made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins. So when we confess our sins, it's like the spiritual defibrillators, right? You ever see those defibrillators? They kind of shock somebody. That's kind of the way I think about it. When we confess our sins, we're just shocked to life. We're given new life in Christ. All the sin that is forgiven. That heavy burden of sin is lifted, and we're given new life in Christ. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'll spare you my singing here, but I like the words of the hymn, He Lives. Right? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Right? Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
So isn't that a wonderful truth, that the word of God is alive today?
Yes.
It's not dead. It's not dead. As believers, we're an extension of the living word of God. And we must use the resources and the things that he's entrusted us with, the things he's given to us, we must use those resources to encourage others to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel message with those around us. However he's equipped you, however he's blessed you to do that. But we need to not hold it back for ourselves. So I want to challenge you this morning. Share the gospel with someone. Share the living word of God with someone. Today, tomorrow, the next day. Give them a tract. Start a conversation. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit pricks your heart about there, be bold to do what God's asking you to do. And share what he's done in your life. And then share what he wants to do in their life. And to save them from their sin, give them eternal life. There's millions of people around the world that still need to know the simple message that points to the living word of God. And that simple message is found in the John and Romans. So not only can we have confidence that the word of God is a living word and can revive a sinner unto salvation, but we can also have confidence that the word of God is an active word. It's an active word. It's not meant to just sit around on the shelf, amen, or sit in your car in between services, during the week, right? We need to be active about studying God's word. Look with me now in James chapter 1, if you will. Turn over to James. James 1:22. James 1:22 says this. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, but deceiving your own selves. This is not saying that you need to do stuff in order to earn your way into heaven. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. The Bible doesn't teach working your way to heaven. But the Bible does teach that we need to be active.
Yes.
We need to be active. We need to be doers of the word. Not just sitting around listening to good preaching like you're hearing this morning. Okay, some of you are still with me. That's good. Just checking. But, you know, if there was an emergency somewhere, if there was a fire, if there was a fireman sitting here in the congregation with us, what would you say to that person? You wouldn't look to that fireman and say, don't do anything. Just stand there. Right? If there's a fire going on, you say, don't just sit there. Do something, right? You want him to be active. If he knows what to do, if he's qualified to do something, you want that person to be active to help. And that's kind of the way it is with us. The Lord is expecting us to take action. When we read his word, When we know his truth, don't hold it to yourself.
That's right.
We need to take action. We need to help others. We need to be out there and be an encouragement, however the Lord pricks our heart to do that. There's many people out there in a crisis today. They're in a crisis. They could be in a tailspin, and many don't have the hope of heaven. But we do. We do. We have the living word of God.
Amen.
And we shouldn't keep it to ourselves.
Right.
We should get it out there. We got to do that. We know that God's word will give people hope, will revive their soul and give them life and eternal life. If the Holy Spirit pricks your heart this week to maybe give out a tract at Walmart or get fuel or something like that, or wherever you are, don't squash that.
Amen.
Right.
Because you never know. You never know where that person is at. You never know what their need is. And you can be standing in between them, in between someone going to heaven or hell.
That's,
I mean, really, it comes down to that. We can be the only lifeline that they have before they slip off into eternity. So we need to be active.
Yes.
We need to be active in sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now turn back to Matthew now. We're going to go to a few different places here this morning, not too many. Matthew 7:24. Again, here we find Jesus speaking, and he's once again, he's encouraging action.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7:24 says this: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doesn't do anything with them." Did the Bible say that? No. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock."
Amen.
Folks, the word of God doesn't teach us to be passive. It doesn't teach us to be passive. We need to be active. We need to be active about sharing his truth, sharing his love, sharing what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And we need to get that out there. To actively share, to actively go, to actively spread the gospel. Verses like Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." It doesn't say the gospel shall be hid. Right? We don't want to hide our light under a bushel, right? Hide it under a bushel, no. Let's say blow it out, those little kids on, right?
Right.
We don't want to do that, right? We got to get it out there.
Amen.
It says the gospel shall be preached, it shall be proclaimed in all the world. Are you doing that? Are you preaching? Now, you don't have to be a preacher to preach. Your life can preach a message.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know, just your very presence, your very witness, your very testimony, that can preach a message to people.
Amen.
So are you doing that? How is your preaching? How is your testimony? To those around you, right? Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word." That's an action there. The Lord gave the word. "And great was the company of those that published it." Again, another action there. And that's what we do at Lighthouse Baptist Press. God expects us to publish the word, to actively get the word sent out there. He doesn't want the word to be stored up in our warehouse there in South Dakota for a rainy day or a snowy day. You guys get the rain here, we get the snow over there. Right? He doesn't want us to do that. As soon as it comes in, we want to get it out. I'm always trying to find missionaries or places to send the word of God to. I don't want to sit around. That's not what we're called to do. You know, he doesn't limit just sharing the truth of his word with just us four and no more kind of a thing, right? We got to get out there. We got to be active to as many people as we can, as many doors that we can knock on or put the gospel out there in our communities, whatever it is. You know, Psalm 68:11 says the Lord gave, and it was actively published, actively preached, actively proclaimed. So we too need to be active in getting his word out there. Now turn over to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 10. Romans 10. As I mentioned, what time do we need to stop there?
Whenever you're done.
Whenever. Okay. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, okay. So we can go a little longer now. I won't keep it going. Okay. Romans 10. As I mentioned here, a book of Romans that contains a clear presentation of doctrine. The doctrine here and how it points to how we are to live for Christ. Let's look at verses 14 and 15, Romans 10.
Amen.
Here Paul is showing us that we need to be active. Again, another portion of being active messengers of the gospel. Romans 10, 14, 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So we see a lot of action here, a lot of active words here. We need to go call. We need to reach those that have never heard, that have never believed, that have never had a copy of the gospel. We need to be preachers. We need to be teachers. But, you know, how shall they hear unless they're sent? Right? We need to do our part there. And do you think our government's going to authorize a mass production of the Bible?
No.
I don't think so, right? Especially the King James Bible. Do you think those who've never darkened the door of a church, those who've never been in a church before, are going to be the ones to go out there and share the gospel with somebody? It's not going to be them. Who's it going to be? It's going to be us. We are the ones. We know God's word. We know his truth. We need to be active in getting it out there. As Bible-believing Christians, as ones who have the truth and know the truth, as I mentioned before, we are his ambassadors. We're an extension of his hands, his feet, right, his mouth, those kinds of things. We need to be active in sharing the gospel. I recently heard from another pastor a message. He was talking about the gospel, and he said, you can't even spell gospel without the word go. So we need to go. We need to give the gospel out. We need to be part of that process, be active. I never thought about it that way. But we need to go and preach. We need to go and teach. We need to go and give out the word of God. Certainly, there needs to be missionaries around the world sent out in foreign lands to be able to preach the gospel. There needs to be more churches planted and more churches established in communities so the gospel can be given out. But it's really up to us. It's up to us as Christians. It's up to you and me to be active in sharing the living word of God with others. Amen. And he's specifically chosen us to go and tell all the world. So are you doing that this morning? In whatever way the Lord has given you the ability and opportunity. Mark 16:15, familiar verses, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That word ye there means you. It doesn't mean go pastor or go missionary. Go ye means go you into all the world and preach the gospel. As I said, you can preach with your life. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism or anything like that, but your testimony can draw people. Like, wow, why do you do it this way? Or why don't you drink or anything like that? I remember when I was in the military, it was very important for officers to meet with the boss and have a beer with the boss. If you don't have a beer with the boss, you'll never get promoted. So that's kind of the philosophy back then. So I go to meet with the boss, and I have my cup of water. And they're like, oh, you know, you need to have a beer. I'm like, no. So I sit down with the boss and talk to them. And he's like, you don't drink, do you? And I said, no, sir. He's like, you know, that's very, exactly what he said, but he said that's very good standard or very good of you that you're holding your ground or something like that. Amen. So, you know, we have a testimony.
Yes.
You know, we need to uphold that testimony. Don't give in to the ways of the world or things around you just because, you know, people say you need to do this. No, you follow the word of God. The word of God will tell you what you need to do. The word of God will convict you on the direction for your life. And just stick with the word of God.
Amen.
Focus on the word of God and you'll get through whatever he wants you to do. You know, people need to have the word of God to be able to hear the word of God, to be able to respond to the word of God, so they can have an opportunity to then trust in the word of God and be saved. And it all starts with giving it out, right? Being active. You need to be active in doing that. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word of God. So not only can we be confident that the word of God is a living word and encourages action, but we also see that the word of God is a powerful word. It's a powerful word. You don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You need to have something pretty powerful to break a rock, don't you? A couple years ago now, I guess, I was having to break up our cement sidewalk at our house, and I wasn't going to use a little hammer. I needed something a little bigger to do the job. So what did I do? Every time I had a DIY project around the house, I loved using new tools or experimenting with different things. So I had an opportunity to use a jackhammer. Never used a jackhammer before. Most of you know what a jackhammer is, right? So is that one of those things there? So I was looking forward to doing that. And you know, just looking at that jackhammer, you know it's a powerful tool. You know it can do some destruction. Maybe you've seen construction workers working on that around town or whatever. But no matter how powerful that jackhammer looks, it will not become effective until someone takes it into their hands and does something with it, right? Well, that's the same with the word of God. We know it's a powerful tool. We know that it can cut through the fallow ground, break through the fallow ground of someone's heart, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But the power of the Word of God will not have an impact unless we take it into our hands, get it into our hearts,
right,
and do something with it. Mm-hmm. That's where we'll get the power. Mm-hmm. Right? That's where the power comes from. Mm-hmm. Don't let it sit in your car. Don't let it sit on your shelf. We must get it into our hands, get it into our hearts, and do something with it. And when I got saved, someone showed me what the Word of God said about my sin, and it was that wonder-working power. Mm-hmm. The wonder-working power of the Word of God that cut through all that, that made me realize that I was a sinner and I need a Savior. And I didn't have a hopes of salvation. At that point, someone showed me from the Bible that I can know for sure that my sins can be forgiven. Yes. And I extend the same thing to you this morning. Don't have a hopes of salvation. Well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I hope I'm a good person. I hope I did what I had to do. No, you can know for sure.
Amen.
That the Bible tells you
right.
that Jesus Christ died for you. He died on the cross. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So God's word is a powerful tool, amen?
Yes.
Powerful tool, and only Jesus Christ has the power to wash sins away. Only Jesus Christ can lift that heavy burden of sin from our life and cast it as far as the east is from the west. I love that picture. If you look at a globe, right? If you look at a globe and if you go north, what's going to happen eventually? When you get to the North Pole, you're going to go south, right? Mm. But when you go east, what happens?
You go west.
Nope, you'll never go west, right? You just go around in a circle, right? Or if you go west, you'll never go east. So you'll never get there. And that's the picture that the Lord gives us of sin. He says, "I remember your sins as far as the east is from the west." You can't remember them. They're gone. Because you'll never get there. You'll never get east from west. Mm-hmm. You get north and south. Now, if he would have said, as far as the north is from the south, well, that's limited. Mm-hmm. But east and west is unlimited.
Yes.
Not saying that doesn't give us license to sin, right? Mm-hmm. Not saying that. But when we come to Christ, when we know that we're sinners, and we know that we come to trust Jesus Christ, that he died for us, he says, "I remember your sins no more. As far as the east is from the west." And it's just a wonderful picture. I love that. But we must not keep this message to ourselves. We must not keep it hid under the bushel, like I said. We must be active in knowing it, active in sharing it. I'm sure there's many testimonies here about a similar change that happened in your life. Maybe when someone shared the gospel with you, and you came to that knowledge that you're a sinner, that you needed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that day began that personal journey, that personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That day when the power of the living Word of God became active in your life, and you accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, praise God that someone took the time to share with you the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
The opportunities that you had to get saved. But what about those people in the Philippines? What about those people in Africa? What about those people in other countries that maybe suppressed by the government and they won't even allow a portion of the Word of God in there, or even a missionary out there? Someone needs to tell them. They still need to know. That's why we do our part, whatever we can, to actively print the gospel, actively send out the gospel, to actively preach the gospel to wherever the Lord opens the doors for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to do that. We want others to know that the power of the Word of God can break that chain of sin and save their soul. So not only is the Word of God a living word, an active word, and also a powerful word, but finally this morning, we can be confident that the Word of God is an enduring word. It's an enduring word. And God's word has and will continue to stand the test of time. Listen to some of these verses about the enduring word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God shall stand forever."
Amen.
Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So no matter what's happening in our government today, and in our country today, no matter how many boneheaded decisions are being made by some of those in authority over us here, one thing we can know for sure, the word of God is an enduring word. And it never changes, it never will change. I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, "God sees all of time, all the time." So he knows. He knows what's going on in our country. He knows what's going on in our lives. It's no surprise. He's been around forever. And he knows the ends from the beginnings. So he knows what's going to happen. He knows the outcome of everything. So we just need to be faithful and keep moving forward and press on, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning. You know, nothing's a surprise to God, but nothing surprises him. He has not changed and he never will change. As I mentioned at the beginning of the message here, the central message of the Bible is an enduring message, and it's a consistent message. And that consistent enduring message is about Jesus Christ. It's about our Savior. It's about the gospel. So turn back with me to John. Let's go back to John in chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 31. John 20, 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Amen. Folks, the enduring message of the Bible, the enduring message that we need to be preaching and teaching, is all about knowing Jesus Christ and making him known. John 6, 7 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." Jesus Christ is that meat that endureth. Meat that endureth. And we need to be looking to him, the bread of life, and sharing his word with as many people as the Lord allows. In John 6:35, Jesus said that I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So if people only knew where to find the enduring bread of life, here in this community, or in a foreign country, or in a different land, wherever the Lord may take us, so many more souls would have an opportunity to come to know Christ as their Savior, to repent of their sins. The gospel message isn't a secret, folks. It's not a secret. It's not just to be held for us. But we need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to give. We need to be willing to give out whatever it is that the Lord's calling us to do. We need to be obedient to whatever it is he's calling us to do. I didn't have to leave the military, as I mentioned. I had a really good career going there. I could have stayed in, but the Lord called me to do something else. Amen. We need to be obedient to the Lord's call. When we print John and Romans booklets, or when you give to your missions program, you're helping share the enduring Word of God. You're helping to get the gospel message out there. So lost souls, hungry souls, needy souls can hear the gospel. Now, our John and Romans, we call it a marked edition. It's marked in there. If you look on the front cover, it says turn to page 43. I don't have a copy with me up here, but on the back table you can see turn to page 43. There's bolds and underlines. And what that does, it basically walks someone through the Romans Road of Salvation. So the underlined words and the bold you look at, and it'll tell you, you know, whatever it is, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And then on that page, it'll tell you another page to turn to. Then you turn to that page, and it walks someone right through the Romans Road of Salvation. So soul winners, as you're at someone's door, you can lead someone to Christ that way if you're not comfortable. Or if someone picks it up, they'll turn to page 43, what is this? And then they start seeing that. Now that's what it is. So we do the marked edition. There's a couple of scriptures here. Romans 3:10. That's bolds and underlined. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. From the Pope to the President, right? Everybody. To you and to me, to unreached people groups, to those all around the world. All have sin. And if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Now, all of us have sin, and we all need to know about the gospel message. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But we don't know when the tragedies may come our way. We have no idea when our time on this earth is going to be up. You know, I think of that recent bridge collapse in Baltimore. Maybe some of you heard of it. A ship hit the bridge and the bridge collapsed within seconds. And there was, I think, 6 or 8 workers that were on the bridge. And within seconds, they're off into eternity. Now, maybe some people had an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Maybe some were saved. We don't know. Maybe there was someone there who's putting it off. Maybe they heard the gospel. They knew they were a sinner, but they never repented. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, or whatever. We don't know when our time is up. We have no idea. In a situation like that, seconds, boom, you have no time to think. You just, and that's it. So we need to be ready. We need to respond to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts, and we know we need to do something, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Take care of those kinds of things. And we can choose to accept Christ, or we can choose to reject Christ. The choice is ours. We choose one or the other. It's totally up to us. Now, if you know Christ this morning, Maybe you've been a Christian for 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, I don't know. Maybe you know Christ already. And if you do, I want to challenge you with this thought. What are you doing with what you know? What are you doing with what you know? Are you making Christ known to others? Are you telling others about the saving power of Jesus Christ? There's thousands of people dying every day. Many will spend eternity in hell. Some of those may have heard the gospel. They may have rejected it, no doubt. There may be many who never heard the gospel. Those verses that I just shared with you that show them how their sins can be forgiven. Other verses like Romans 10, 9, and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's a confession that we need to make with our mouth. It doesn't matter where in the world these people are. It doesn't matter who they are. It could be your spouse. It could be your co-worker. It could be your boss. It could be your children. It could be someone that's here this morning. If you've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confessed your sins to God, that's what you need to do in order to be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
That whosoever is anybody. It doesn't matter how old. If you're young enough to understand, when you come to Christ, you confess your sins. That whosoever means anyone, any person, anywhere. Not a select group, not a select church, not a select number, not a certain religion. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And people need to know that their sins can be forgiven, that they can have eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. We just need to keep doing our part as Christians, keep spreading the gospel truth, spreading the gospel message, being that testimony, being that light to those around us. I left the military because the Lord burdened my heart about being active in the printing ministry, active about telling others about the living word of God, the powerful word of God, the enduring word of God. I didn't ask to do this. I didn't submit a resume to my church and say, yeah, that'd be a neat ministry. I want to do that. No, the Lord called me to. I know very specifically that I am in the center of God's will. And I know that. I can confidently say that. And because I had other things going on. I could have been doing other things. But I know the Lord wanted me to do this. And there's a reason. And Brother First, he was coming to a point where he couldn't do it anymore. So someone had to come in there. And it just happened to be me. And I answered the call.
Praise the Lord.
But how about you? What is the Lord calling you to do? Are you running from him or running to him? We need to be running to the Lord. I stepped out of faith 10 years ago and obeyed what the Lord asked me to do, and he continued to bless exceedingly abundantly. But how about you this morning? Are you being obedient to what he's asking you to do? And do you know him personally this morning? Are you telling others about him? So as I wrap up our time here together, I'll close with this verse. And I'll ask Pastor to come and close out the service for us. Romans 10, 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's all about the word of God, folks. We need to know it. And we need to, not only with our head, as Pastor mentioned this morning, but with our heart. And then we need to share that with others, so others can be saved. Don't keep that to yourself. Get it out. That's what God wants us to do. We need to go ye therefore to all the world and preach. Preach with our mouth, preach with our life, whatever God is asking us to do. Give a track. You want to just give them a track and run away, whatever it is, right? Whatever you feel that you need to do, whatever you're comfortable doing, do something, be active about sharing the gospel truth with others. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about letting others know about Christ. He loves you, he loves me, he died for us, and he wants people to know. Because when we die, we're going to one of two places, and this is not me, this is the Bible. We're either going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell this morning. God doesn't want you to go to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Use this time. Use this opportunity. Don't leave here today without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Let's all stand. Please stand with me. And then would you mind to bow in prayer as I close the service? And as we bow our heads in prayer, I want you to think about yourself. Please just think about yourself. The question I want to ask you is, right now, while I'm standing, do I know I have eternal life? Right now, while I'm standing, I can say that Christ is my Savior. I can say that confidently. I know Christ is my Savior. While we're standing, and while you think about just yourself, Can you say, I know Christ as my Savior? I have received him as my Savior. Can you say that? Now, if you honestly can, I'd appreciate it if you just let me know by an upraised hand. Just raise your hand if you know for sure Christ is your Savior. No one is looking, really, just me. God is looking too, but I know for sure Christ is my Savior. That is my question to you. Your answer is either your hand comes up to say, I know for sure. Please keep it up. Just for a second, please. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let me put your hand down. Thank you. Now, I appreciate the honesty. If you could not raise your hand, I appreciate the honesty. Do this, please. Don't go home until you talk to me or I'll have someone speak with you about being sure about your salvation from the Bible. From the Bible, not from the Baptist church, from the Bible. We'll be glad to show you from the Bible how to be sure. So there was a couple of hands that did not come up. I appreciate the honesty. If you're not sure, go home sure. Go home sure that you're saved. Go home sure that you're saved. Make sure about that. Really, nothing else is more important than your eternal salvation. Really. Other things have its place, but that is the most important place. Be sure about that. I'll look forward to you coming to me before you go home today. We'll make time to sit down and talk from the scriptures to make sure that you're saved. Do that, please. The second thing is, you who are saved, I've heard it very clearly today. Take the tracts, get rid of the tracts. Speak up for Christ. We need to do that. Once again, the Lord has emphasized that to us as a church through this good brother. And you don't have to go far. Just where you are. Don't have to go far, just where you are. You want to track here and there. Father, I pray that you help us to be responsible and not be derelict in our duties as Christians to tell others about you. We may not have the time to talk to people. They may not let us talk to them. But at least we can give a gospel tract to people throughout our day, throughout our week. We can do that. We can do that. We should do that. And we must do that. Lord, we cannot depend on others to do it. We need to do it ourselves. Help us as Christians in this church to be responsible, to not forfeit opportunities. And then I pray for those that could not raise the hand, that they have assurance of salvation. I pray that they would make sure of that before they go home. Thank you, Father, for the good day in church, for the challenge, for the mic giving simple truth that we need to hear. We ask for your blessings on his travels and on the ministry, printing ministry. Thank you, Father, for being with us today. It's been worth it to be in church. It's been good to hear these things and to see these things. Now, Lord, cause us to respond, cause us to act upon it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.